Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Reasoning with an Optimist podcast for the week of June 19th, 2016. This is Jack Brissett Mills. Conversation today with an old friend, Terry, someone you haven't heard from before. But first, the verses I wrote for Rudolf Steiner's Calendar of the Soul for his week 12. This one I wrote 2 years ago, verse 12. I cannot remain chained, surrounded by such beauty, but must fly on wings I feel have opened, gifts from the light and warmth to carry me to my true self. And this one I wrote last year for the same Rudolf Steiner verse, verse 12a. Allowing the beauty of this day to lift me from my tasks is not an abandonment, but a seeking in light and warmth for my truer self in my true home. Yeah, thank you, Terry. That was fun to talk. We've seen each other regularly over the years for piano tuning, but really nice to talk to you. Here you go. Thanks for listening. Hey, Terry. Thanks for doing this. Jack here.
Hey, Jack.
Hey, did you have anything you wanted to talk about? You and I have had some good conversations in the past.
Yeah, we have. Well, I have things on my mind. I don't know if anybody else would want to, you know, hear about that.
You know, I ask people all the time for their big thought. What's their big thought? Or I even put it in the form of an epitaph. What would you say your epitaph would be, or what's your thesis of your life, like the most important?
Oh my gosh.
Those kind of things. And people have not really thought about those things, but then they go, wait a minute, I should think about those things. I should come up with a thesis for my life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's funny you ask that question, because I'm one of those people, I guess.
One of those that haven't, or that do? That think about
that
it.
Haven't.
That
I haven't thought about it. I mean, and big thoughts. Yeah, you know, I do have big thoughts. They tend to be kind of dark.
You know, I wanted to tell you, Terry, I use you, I quote you. You might not remember, but when I told you my book was Reasoning with an Optimist, you laughed. You thought it was ironic. You said, yeah, how can you reason with an optimist?
Yeah, it is ironic.
I thought that was great. Anyway, I used that quote. That's a good quote.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it's coming in. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's good to have optimists around, because
it makes your life so much easier, right? Because you can just cruise past them, right?
Well, no. You know, I mean, we need some balance.
I guess. Now, optimism, I think, is like a philosophy. But if you were optimistic, that's the way to be to get something done, well, right?
Yeah.
Optimistic. But optimism, that's like a bigger thing, I guess, right?
Yeah. You know, okay, here you go. So, all right.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, okay, we both create things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we like to do.
Yeah, it's fun.
And I think you have to have some optimism to do that. Otherwise, you know, why bother, right?
Yeah. And it's a better quality when you're done, right? Because you were actually caring. You actually cared while you did it. That's what optimism kind of means to me. You're kind of caring at every moment.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, and in that respect, I guess, you know, one could say that I'm an optimist in that respect. You know, I'm an engineer for a living, right?
Yeah, but I don't know you like that at all. I know you as this amazing pianist. You're just so great. I mean, as a composer and a player, you're both a composer and a great player. It's really quite rare.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway,
I appreciate that.
But I don't know anything about your engineering. Go ahead.
Well, that's funny. I'm really, that's very nice of you to say that. You know, I spend my day doing engineering, you know, I'm designing stuff, and most of the people that I work with have no idea what I do, you know, outside of work.
Yeah.
And vice versa. I mean, I don't know what they do outside of work either.
Right.
But I think there's definitely some overlap. I mean, in both cases, it's creating stuff. But in one case, you know, in my profession, my day job, whatever you want to call it, you know, we're creating tangible objects, you know, machines, I guess you would call them, electrical machines. Mm-hmm. So it's chip design. That's what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And lately it's been audio chips, which is kind of relevant, I guess, to the other side. But yeah, and I guess you do have to be an optimist there too, that things will eventually work out. But I guess the other side of it is I'm always thinking of what's going to go wrong.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
guess that's, yeah. I mean, and I don't know.
Yeah, that's your job, though. That's required, right?
I think so. I think so. Right. Because otherwise it won't work.
I mean, don't know.
Because things...
Can you think through the thing you're making? You know, I make more tangible objects than you do, I think, because I make, like, I built a studio once, and I had to think about the truss that I made.
Uh-huh.
And the way I could think about it, I could picture the wind pushing on the building, and I could picture the weight of me standing on the roof. And so uh-huh. I could think through, and I was trying to see, would I wreck it? You know, would the wind wreck it? Would I wreck it? And so
right.
it's the same as what you're saying, but can you actually
Absolutely.
Do that? Can you do that with the things you're doing, or is it more mathematical? You have to walk through the lines.
It's all of the above.
Okay.
Sometimes it is a mathematical model, and sometimes it's just thinking through how stuff works, and you know, like how would I put it? You know, again, I like to call it machinery and think of it as machinery. It's not a moving part, but well, there are electrons moving through it, and mm-hmm. you know, how do things change from one state to another, and how could they break, and could you ever get stuck, and what happens when you do, and you know, those kinds of things. Yeah, right. You have to picture all of the things that can go wrong, because right, just like building a structure, you don't want it to fall down. Otherwise, that's a lot of wasted
yep.
work, and somebody could get hurt. And yeah, I mean, nobody's going to get hurt necessarily if an audio chip doesn't work. Although, you know,
well, your company, your company will, and you will, and you will then too. Yeah.
Well,
I've got a brother who's a coder. He mostly with websites, with banks, how they have to be secure. Bank has a secure website. Anyway, he writes these things, but he is so conscious of how his mood will get him fired. He can tell this is a day when I will get fired. I better be careful because he didn't sleep well, you know. So, and then that's because the day before something else happened. So you get these little loops where you start, you know, your dream life really depends on the day you had, I think. And then, and then the next day you have depends on your dream life. And so if you start getting off track, you could just keep going down, 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 and you lose your job, and then you're not going to have good dreams after that either. And so how are you ever going to get back on top?
So are you saying he thinks he's going to lose his job because he'll say the wrong thing because he's in a bad mood?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, me too.
And so you were talking about the darkness, and I almost think it has to do with you have this, what do they call it, a positive feedback loop when it keeps reinforcing itself. So the more, I'm talking about optimism again now, so the more I have a good day, then I sleep well, and then I have another good day, and then and I sleep well, and so it just keeps it just keeps building.
Yes. Yeah, in a good way.
In a good way.
That's right. Interestingly, in stuff I work on, electrical circuits, there's, you know, notions of feedback. And positive feedback is a bad thing. It causes what's called instability.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, that can make things just go totally haywire. You don't want it, yep. right? You want yep. negative feedback.
Yeah. yeah.
Which doesn't sound like a good thing, but no. yeah.
I mean, the whole...
Yeah.
The big thought, the... I guess I'm grasping at straws here, but you got me going with the darkness and then the optimism and then the is it productive or is it wrong to have the darkness? Because I like the darkness. I actually do. Oh. And I have a tendency toward it.
Uh-huh.
Does it make
oh,
us
you do.
Does it make you more creative? For me it makes me go get up. You know, whenever I feel it, I go I'm feeling it because I'm sitting. I'm dark because I'm not doing something. So I get up uh-huh. and I stack wood or I do the dishes or something like that, something mundane.
Yes.
And I'm not yeah. dark, and I'm not dark anymore.
Yeah, things like that can help. I'll go run. But yeah, you right. If there's some mundane task that you can start and finish. I don't know, what is it, there's some sense of accomplishment maybe, or just having done something mindless, maybe that's just fine, you know, I don't know. But, so what were you asking about, is it good to go get into dark
yeah,
thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned you're often dark, and so, and you're also yeah. And you're also creative, so I wonder if they're together.
I think they go together, yeah, and here's an example, like, I have to watch how much news I take in.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, and maybe that's not an uncommon thing, but...
Frightening news.
Yeah. It's just, and even, like, for a while, I subscribed to The Economist, which I really enjoy reading, but it's like a, you know, an encyclopedia every week.
Yes.
And I don't think it's particularly dark, but, I mean, you know, it's not like network television news or anything like that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, getting back to the creative side of things, you know, I think just musically and artistically, there's always been something about just dark sounds and dark images and just something with, there's a richness and depth there. And it doesn't, I don't mean something completely dark necessarily, but...
No, I'm with you. Go ahead. I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean... Okay, yeah, John Philip Sousa March is great. You know?
I mean, they are great, but they're good for walking, right? If you want to...
Yeah!
They're good
exactly.
for marching. But if I think of Beethoven's sonatas, for example, the happy ones, the happy movements, I don't really like them as much as the...
Not as much, no.
The deep, dark ones are really wonderful, just wonderful.
Yeah, it's like... What was this guy going through when he wrote this? Or,
yep.
you know, what happened? I don't know. Some, for whatever reason.
Yep. I do know that nobody really wants to hear how happy you are. You know, nobody wants to hear a word of that. But if you can, if you can explain how you hurt yourself, I think everyone wants to hear that. They really like that.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. You heard this cute thing. It said tragedy is when you tear your fingernail, and comedy is when someone else falls down a manhole. So anyway,
yeah.
if it happens to you, it's a terrible one. Thing. And if it happened to someone else, it's wonderful.
Oh, that's funny, yeah.
You know, you're talking about the news, and I could almost say the same thing about if we really looked and could hear what's happening inside our bodies, uh-huh. we also have no control over all the bacterial wars that are happening, you know. And we're probably not going to make it, you know. We're going to, the signs are not good, you know. And
well, pretty sure that's not yet.
It's beyond.
You're not going to be here.
But it's beyond our ken. It's beyond our understanding. We can't do anything about it. And it just is horrible to get the information. It's too much information.
Yeah, that's right. This sounds like a Woody Allen movie or something.
Yeah, there
right?
you are. There you are. But if you look, I do this a lot. I look around. I feel horrible because of the rotten world. But then I look around. Well, wait a minute. I have a nice house, you know, and I can drive to work, and the people there are nice to me. And So there's nothing, yeah. There's not a thing wrong with my life, and yet I can really be depressed because of how horrible the world is.
Oh, yeah.
It's fairly weird, very weird.
Yeah, it's just this mixed bag, isn't it? I have to remind myself, you know, consciously, oh, yeah, you know, even write a few things down, like, oh, yeah, my kids are turning out okay, huh. And... yeah, I am lucky to have this particular problem, whatever it is that's bothering me. Yeah, because, well, there's certainly much worse ones that can be had.
This idea, yeah. This idea of a thesis of your life, it's not a huge thing. And I think you'd be surprised. I didn't really think of it until maybe 6 months ago because of this podcast. I kind of thought of it. And just the idea that there could be something in me that I keep doing it, or I keep thinking it. Some thought that I'm thinking a lot over decades, and it just becomes poo-poo to me because it's always there.
But, it's always there.
But yeah. Then I realize other people don't have that thought. That's really me. I would say that's me. That thought is me. And so I'm. You don't have to tell me if you have it or what it might even be, but just the activity of saying, you know, what would my sentence be, or what would my thesis be? It's a nice activity to try to figure that out. I think it's a cool activity.
You know, I think you have given me something to do here.
I mean, it could be the epitaph. It could be the stone, you know, the thing to put on the tombstone.
Well, yeah, I wasn't really thinking about that in particular. I think the point you made just a minute ago was a really good one. If you have a thought or multiple thoughts that just you live with on a daily basis, you might tend to think of them as nothing special, yep. But they are very uniquely yours.
Yep, yep.
And how many other people really are going to share or relate to them? I mean, there will be other people, certainly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the composite of all those things is very uniquely you.
Yeah.
No doubt. You know, that's a good thing for somebody my age to think about, in particular, you know, midlife crises and all that.
No, that's right. That's right.
Oh, seriously. Yeah, it is. I have a wife and I have two daughters, and they're teenagers now.
Oh, my.
And raising children is not an easy thing, and there are certainly... I mean, sometimes it's great, don't get me wrong, but it's a lot of work.
Of course.
And there are certainly times where I'm just wondering, you know, what the heck am I doing?
Yeah, this whatever is this common thought, I think, you know, the one for me, it's often related to changing how I view things. For me, it's I'm always looking for a way to trick myself into having an excellent attitude somehow, no matter what. And so I can hear an explosion beside me. I don't want to go, whoa. I want to just calmly or even just continue on my way and pretend that I'm not the kind of person that is affected by such things, you know? and so there's some kind of common thought that I have that makes me want to be stable and steady. And so maybe that's a thesis I have of myself or something. You know, it's just so common.
Well, I know you, you know.
You know me long.
How long have we known each other? Yeah. Almost 20 years.
Yeah, 20 years, yeah.
And I got to know you as my piano tuner to begin with.
Yeah.
And you still are my piano tuner.
Yeah.
But I will say that it was very obvious to me the first time you tuned my piano, that you brought this zen into the room.
Oh, good. You never know how you appear, you know? You never know.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Yeah, you don't. That was intriguing to me.
Yeah.
And you also do a very good job tuning my piano. So, you know, there's two reasons to keep calling you back.
Yeah. I did not know how. I mean, I knew you were great at playing, but then I didn't know until maybe 10 years ago that you are really great at composing. It's almost that you're better at that than anything. I would suppose you're better at that than what you do in your day job, but who knows? Maybe you're really great at that too, but you're really
You know what's funny?
Go ahead.
Well, thank you. I think in some ways, I think I am better at the thing that I don't do for a living,
yeah.
You know, and it's a little weird and it can be a little frustrating at work because like, I know, how should I say it without sounding cocky?
Yeah.
But you know when you do something well, right?
Yeah,
like
you do.
In the moment when something you did turned out well, you know that feeling,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And it seems like I get that less often at work than I do.
Yeah.
Making music or composing music or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's okay. There's the practical side of things as well. And I guess early on, I mean, you know, early as in probably when I was a late teenager trying to figure out what to do, I knew that this was, you know, the idea of writing music and playing music was something that really, really appealed to me. But I saw no practicalness to it in yeah. like just a making a living kind of way, you
yep,
know,
yep.
for me,
yep.
for me.
Yep.
And like, I kind of liked the idea of just not really having to think about it that way, even, you know, like, I don't know. I kind of wonder at times, I mean, people do that for a living and some people do that. You know, when I say do that, composition and performance,
yeah. Yeah.
One or both. And some people do very well at that, right? Like the need to create due to a deadline or a contract or whatever makes them do it, uh-huh. I guess. And then, you know, it's kind of, I mean, you have to, in that case, you have to do it to survive. And, you know, right? Necessity is the mother of invention.
That's the unique thing for me, that when I see you play or hear you play, I can see that you're enjoying it, you know?
Yeah.
And I almost don't think that you'd enjoy it so much when you need to do it. It has to be this Friday, you've promised.
Yeah.
You know?
Right. You know, on the other hand, okay, so here, when it comes to like composing and arranging, I have hardly ever had any deadlines imposed on me because I'm usually not doing it for other people.
Right.
On the other hand, I work as a sideman musician with a number of different groups around town and of different genres. And I have to learn stuff for them and learn how, you know, learn my parts, learn the pieces of music. And I do find that having those deadlines is actually really nice, and that it makes me practice and get better at just playing the instrument.
Very nice.
So I do kind of enjoy that pressure, no doubt. It's just like a, you know, any kind of deadline at work, it's the same thing. But I can't imagine having that composing because and I know, again, people do that, but
I don't know if you had advice when you were younger. I had a teacher. I was a musician as a high schooler, and I could do math and I could do other stuff, but I loved music. And I had this older man who was an organist, and he was the musician in our town. He was everywhere in every organization. He said, "Man, if you can do anything else, you should do it. Don't go into music," he said.
Right.
And so, wow, that's great. Can I do? Yeah, I could do something else. And that way music could be something I love rather than, in his case, he was dragged down by music. He was really tired of it.
Well, and that's the thing. I never exactly... I've heard that before. Nobody ever gave me that advice per se. Yeah, you know, here's the other thing, though. Like on composing, I've had very little output the last few years. And maybe, I mean, even the, like the last 10 years, probably. Like this last Christmas, I, for whatever reason, I got like a 2-week span where that's really, I spent a lot of time, like unstructured time, just like practicing and making music and just doing whatever came to mind. And near the end of that 2-week period, like the ideas were coming, and actually a new tune came out, you know, and it really wasn't that hard, but it's like, it takes that immersion for me.
Oh, I'm sure it does. I'm sure it does.
Yeah. Because I have never been prolific at anything. And, you know, some people are, right? Some people can just brainstorm and stuff comes out, you know, almost faster than they can write it down. And like, for me, it's this long, painful process usually. Like, I've had individual pieces take like 2 years to dribble out, you know?
Yeah.
Because I don't know where I'm, you know, I don't even know necessarily where I'm starting or where I'm going or how it's going to end or anything
right,
like that.
Right. You reminded me of these, it was a funny song. It was Flight of the Conchords did one. Is
oh, I love
something about, we're going to make love tonight. And he said, and you know how I know that? Because it's Wednesday. And
because it's Wednesday.
On Wednesday we make love. You know,
That's right.
It doesn't work. It doesn't work like
no,
that.
No, so it does not work like that.
I think art and love are very close like that. You
absolutely.
You can't say today's the day, you know?
No.
And you need weeks. You need weeks to get ready to go into art. You know, I mean, you got to feel it again. You know, you get it back into
it. That's right.
And so that's why most people can't do it, is they need to work. They need to make the money. And it's just a rare person either who doesn't need the money because they're living in somebody's closet or you just have a break. You just have a break. I have 2 weeks. I got to get some art going here, you know. And by the time you got to go back to work, you're ready to write the album, you know. And then
what? Oh,
you know, it's terrible.
Let me tell you, going back to work after that
was
just dreadfully painful.
I bet. Because you know you're missing what you could have done then, right?
I felt like I had met this beautiful woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had had this great 2 weeks in the tropics or wherever. Yep, pick your favorite. And, like, oh, I had to leave her there. Bye-bye.
Yep, you know? Yep. For some mundane reason. Yeah, my ticket says I got to go, you know. This whole mystery, I always try to see the little bit of mystery under that, you know. And why do we care? You know, there's most basic questions. Why do we care? And why does it feel like we're missing something, and how do we get the feeling that we're accomplishing what we're supposed to, and is there something we're supposed to be doing? You know, these kind of questions, and no matter how many people tell you, it's nobody cares, and it doesn't matter, you still have this feeling, you know, I think it matters, I have to figure it out, you know?
That's right. Yeah, it has to matter. I mean, it means something to you, and there is a purpose to it. You might not necessarily know what it is, though. All the time, at least.
It must feel really... I've been singing... I heard a concert from a guy 2 months ago. Every day since then, at least 5 minutes, I would say most of the day, but at least 5 minutes of every day, I've been hearing him playing at that concert. And it must... There must be some... I don't know that he's a happy guy. Maybe. I hope he's a happy guy, because he's doing something that makes other people happy. You know, and I was going to say the same thing about your album, Stick Figures. I hear that in my head all the time. That's a great album. It's a great album. And so that must,
well, thank you.
That must, I hope it does something for you. Most artists, though, they're really pretty depressed people. I don't know why, but.
Well, I mean,
together. You're not really that depressed, at least from the outside. I don't see you that. You've always been really sharp, really alive. Who knows?
I've been there for sure. I've definitely been there. You probably weren't coming over at the time because, yeah.
No, you wouldn't call. Nobody calls a piano tuner when they're depressed.
No.
And it takes optimism to call the piano tuner, you know, because you're gonna practice. You're gonna practice.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right.
So
if I'm not playing it, who cares? Why bother to get it?
So people see me when they're in their best mood usually. So I think people are pretty happy in general. So.
Yeah. I'm always happy to see you because I know when you leave, I'm going to have a really nice sounding instrument again.
You've been
that's not the only reason I'm happy.
No, you've been one of the over my career of the 5,000 people I've worked for, that there have only been maybe 10 that really knew I was any good, and you're one of those 10. I've always been really happy to work for you. Thank you very much.
Only 10, huh?
I think so.
Well,
I think it's pretty bad. Most people ask me, so is it tuned, and how was it? And
I get it.
Anyways,
they just don't know.
They don't know, and they can trust me that I haven't tricked them somehow.
Right, so. That's funny. That never even occurred to me.
Yeah,
I can see that now. Hey, but you know, you talked about making people happy, and actually, there is a component of that. There's no doubt. Last night I had a gig, and this is with a band I play with and have played with for almost 20 years, Los Jazz Pacos.
Oh, yes.
And everybody was there to hear. They were there for the purpose of hearing this band play.
Yeah.
And, you know, several people just came up afterwards, and they just told me, or us, how much they enjoyed it. And, you know, it's not really an ego thing. It really makes me happy that other people enjoyed it, because that means we made a connection, you know, that, and we said something musically that can't be said verbally.
There you are.
And because there's no vocals. I mean, it's a musical conversation that we're having on stage. A lot of times we're making it up as we go, and, you know, mistakes and all. It connects with people, and that really is it's a wonderful thing. I just feel like, you know, it's like a religious thing. It's a spiritual thing for sure. No doubt.
And it lasts many days, I would hope. That feeling.
Wait, for me or them?
No, for you. That I did something. I did something, you know? Maybe it's only a day or two, but it's at least a day, right? I hope.
For sure. It's definitely rejuvenating. It's like, this is why I do this. Yeah, that's right. Really, when I step on the bandstand with these guys and we start making music, it's like, this is why we do this. It's like, just immediately then you know, and you realize the other stuff is just, it's just distraction. That's all.
That might have been one of the first words I looked up when I came to Texas. I saw the plaque on your wall, Los Jazz Batos. And I said, I remember somebody called me a Batos once. And so I had to look it up.
Yeah, it's better than like a pandejo, you know?
No, it's much better than a pandejo. Bato. Hey, Bato. Hey, Bato. That's not so bad. You say, hey, man.
No, it's not bad.
It's okay.
Well, thanks again, Terry. That was really nice. And thank you for listening. Drop me a line if you can at reasoningwithanoptimist.net or jackmills@mac.com. That link hasn't been working lately, so I say my email address too. And come back again next week if you could. This is Jack Brissett Mills. Bye-bye.